Hi, I'm Kim.
And I'm Tora.
And this is our podcast, Kicking It with Kim and Tora. Thank you so much for joining us today. So as always, in our new format, we have four topics, 15 minutes each. Let me get the timer ready. And our first topic is going to be women being submissive in the context of a relationship.
You just don't understand how many women I'm having this conversation with, and I'm hearing so many people, once again, on social media that are giving this advice that I just think is barbaric. I think yes, I do know that there was a time where, and I was just listening to this on a TV show, I think it was Black-ish, where she was saying the lady, I just looked it up, she just got her star on Hollywood. And anyway, she was saying in the show, she was saying that back in the day, or not her day, that Black
star, Marla Gibbs.
Marla Gibbs.
Thank it was so late. It was so late.
I know. I thought she already had it.
Year, decades ago, Marla Gibbs was on Black-ish.
Yes, she was. Okay. I believe she was the grandmother of the husband.
Okay.
And so she was saying that, you know, she was used to fixing her husband's plate, because when he would go outside the house, he would be treated so bad. And
I heard that.
When he came in the house, she wanted him to know he was important and he was loved. And I was so feeling that. Like, my grandfather was that guy. You know, he got stomped on in the life. He couldn't read or write. My grandmother made sure he had his, I mean, every night he had his dinner cooked. And every morning
she- I heard that, Tora, that Black women used to really pamper their men because they were so mistreated in this racist society. I've heard that before.
Right. And then when you look at it in that context, you can actually respect a woman being submissive, if that's the word you're going to use. I agree with that. That's something I believe should be done for men and women, but really men, because they were the breadwinners. They were the one that were paying the bills and would go out and work hard. But nowadays, I feel like we got these trifling brothers who I don't know where they came from, who's raising them, who's telling them how to act, but I don't like it. And I'm not submitting to anything. I'm definitely not going to be submissive to that at all. So, and this lady was giving this advice. She was like, a man don't want to hear a woman talk too much and be you know, coming at him and I'm like, girl, bye. Well, are you kidding me? Like, what? I don't know what relationship she's been in, and there were a few of them. None of them I saw had, maybe they don't wear wedding rings anymore. That was just my little niche.
None of the women had rings on?
I didn't see any of them have rings.
I do not take marital advice from single sisters. I didn't do it when I was married, and I'm not going to do it now, because if you knew what you were talking about, wouldn't you have a husband?
That's all I'm saying. And so, and this one lady, she was talking about, girl, she was talking about how the men she attracted. She said she attracted men that had money and wanted to give her money and wanted to, you know, raise her situation up. Even though she was a baller and she had her own, she said she dated men that, you know, wanted to bring to, with, and I respect that. Okay, yes.
I can get with that. No problem with that over here. I'm all with that.
Absolutely. And then, you know, and I was thinking, okay, yeah, in the courting phase, you don't want to show anyone your full hand. But if you start to see a brother act up and you feel like you need to button up and shut up, and she was telling women, learn to shut up.
Even if he's acting out, you still are supposed to be in a submissive role.
I felt like she was saying that, but like she, you know, I'm assuming it had to be a conversation. So she was saying, you know, don't be so quick to tell a man, I don't need you, I got my own, or whatever, whatever. Yes, that to me, it should never ever be said unless it's brought up. Like if a man is telling you, you know, you aren't anything, or you can't be anything, or if it wasn't for me, anything. Yeah, those are conversations that you can be like, I don't need you, I have my own. But if you're just in a regular old dating phase, no, it's no
need. Even say that. Yeah.
No need to announce that to the man.
Right.
But the submissive thing, and I actually remember when I was going through marriage counseling, we were going with her to the pastor, and we had other couples there, and they brought up the word submissive, and he was like, you know, da da da. And I'm like, when I say da 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 da, he was having a conversation about the Bible saying the word submissive. And I remember even being in church being like, y'all crazy. Y'all are gone crazy. There's no way in the world I'm being submissive to a jackass. I'm just not gonna do it. I'm not gonna button up. I'm not gonna swallow my pride. I'm not doing any of that. You hurt me, lyrically, I'm coming at you like a battle.
Well, presumably, you're not marrying a jackass or dating a jackass, mm-hmm. I hope. But I mean, I think the submissive is a trigger word mm-hmm. for many women. That's a word that triggers women because submissive can mean a lot of things. In certain cultures, submissive means walking two steps or paces that's behind your man.
Not gonna do that neither.
There's another African country. I want to say Uganda, but I'm not sure. Well, I've seen videos showing that those women serve their men their meals on their knees, okay? So that word submission can be just taken way too far. And I know that in this country in particular, submission is not a word that women want to hear.
No. And it's not about, you know, being whitewashed or anything like that. It's just my thing is men have lost that ranking system. You know, they have abused it. I'm not even gonna say lost it, they abused it. You know, with the cheating, the lying, the wanting, you know, just being trifling, you lost that. When you were hardworking and we knew, I'm not saying me, because I never lived during that era, but when you knew your brother was coming home to you and you only after he had been out in them streets getting beat up by the man and beat up by the government and the corporation, and you knew all he wanted to do was come home and be with you and the kids and have a hot meal. Yes, absolutely. He get anything he want. He ever, at the point in time he wants it. But these new brothers, are you kidding me? No, I'm not. I'm sorry. Maybe this is going to be a conversation where we need to bring a brother in and maybe.
We should invite some men on. Let's do that and have them talk to us about submission. The one thing that I will say is that I know that I'm an alpha female. Mm-hmm. I think that you are too.
What is an alpha?
The women that I'm friends with.
For people who don't know, can you explain that to them?
Alpha female is like not a follower, but a leader. Somebody who brings things to the table, who has opinions, who's going to express them. I mean, if there's no man there, I can run the show. You know what I mean? Alpha female. And so I haven't always been like this, but I definitely prefer to date alpha males. And so I have learned over the years that when I'm dating an alpha male, I have to tone it down and let that man take the lead because that is who he is. And that actually is what I want him in my life for. Because there have been periods where I have dated some men who are beta males and I'm always running the show. I got tired of that. I don't want to figure everything out, know everything, do everything. No. Bring me some alpha males. I'm going to sit back at this stage and let them run the game. So I know I have to tone down some, but part of the reason they want me is because I do have this brain. I do have my experience. I do bring to the table what I bring. So they don't want me to sit there like a docile little lamb. They want me to respect them, but they want to know, hey, babe, what do you think? Well, maybe we can this and we can that. And I like that, but you do have to tone it down some, but I don't really think submission is what I will call that.
No, I totally agree. And I know for a fact, I don't brag on being an alpha female, but I do know that I was born that way. Mm-hmm. And it's because I like things a certain way. And usually the men that I have dated in the past and the man that I'm married to now, they adapt to my way of life. So it is very nice when they say, okay, we're doing this, we're doing that. And I trust that because you know me by now. You know what I like, you know what I don't like. And I don't feel like you're gonna put me in a position and you know I'm not gonna allow you to put me into a position that I don't like. In life, I just don't think you'll do that. So with that said, I don't feel the need to always bark or come at somebody. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel that need. But I feel like if you push me in that direction and you do things to me, I can't sit there and think of how the world is beating you up and think that last thing you need is me coming at you.
I think that most of those, well, I don't know about most, but some of those women who are talking about submission in 2021 aren't talking about it for the reason that Marla Gibbs and that generation were talking about it. I think that when these women are talking about being submissive, it has nothing to do with what the guy is experiencing outside the home.
No.
I'm not sure if it's that Christian thing or that Muslim thing. I'm not sure where they're getting it from, but I don't think it's for that reason. I think they just have some notion that a woman should be submissive to a man. And I don't even the Bible says a helpmeet. I don't know that that's a submissive person.
No.
You can't be helpful if you're just sitting there acting like, okay, honey. Oh, you think so?
Right.
Whatever you say. You're not going to be helping anybody do anything with that.
And I'm not talking bad about her because I respect her in so many ways, but Monique from Baltimore, the comedian, the way she speaks in her relationship and of her relationship, it cringes me. And I know hers is coming from love.
Well, her boyfriend, her daddy, her fiance, she calls him everything, doesn't she?
She calls him that. And that is another thing, like when she calls him daddy and stuff like that. And I get they have their thing. I get it. You know what I mean? I respect that. But it's just almost like that word submission and submissive is what I see when she speaks of her marriage and her relationship. And it makes me cringe because I know that you're supposed to give it all while you have it. I get that. You know, you're supposed to do 110% while you have it. I get that. However, I just feel like you leave room for error because if he, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like you saying all this, do you really think that that's going to keep him gold? Because to me, it makes me think he's going to be even worse. You know what I'm saying?
See, now I used to see her all the time on Instagram, and maybe because I'm not watching anymore, and maybe because she's not posting as much, but I never see her anymore because while you're talking, I'm sitting here trying to remember. I know she would be cooking. Come on, daddy, taste this. My boyfriend, my fiance, and all this and that. But truthfully, I don't have an issue with Monique either. Not even her bonnet stuff. I may not agree with her. But I don't have it. We talked about that. I don't have an issue with her voicing her opinion. But Monique, is she not the breadwinner?
She's the breadwinner. And that's what hurts me even more because she seems to me like she's dimming her light in a way, you know, not like Whitney dimmed her light, but she's dimming her light in a way to keep him in the playing field of her. And I'm like, you don't have to do that. Like, boo, you know, cause she'll say stuff like, and when I asked my husband, then my husband said, you know, Monique, this is what we gonna do. And my husband said, and it'll be, she's battling, but it's like he helped with the battle that she gave it to him so much, like, and my husband, and I'm just like, stop it.
With that Tyler Perry, Oprah Winfrey, Lee Daniels thing, you are
exactly what I'm saying.
Her husband set the agenda for how they were going to move. You're right, in that circumstance.
It irked me, like, I wanted to be her friend at that moment. It was like, no, boo, listen, leave room and leave space for, like you always say, the, change your mind. I leave the, you know, right in the space to be able to change. I feel like you should leave that same space for error because it's like, I don't know where his agenda is and you can't go inside his body and just automatically know that his agenda is 110% you. His agenda might be power struggle. He might be thinking in his mind, and that's right, I'm running this, you know, and I told her not. And it's like, but you bite your nose off despite your face. Like, don't do that.
Not only me. That, in her circumstance, at least in that particular instance, it was her career on the line. And I think that a more reasonable approach would be to talk it out with him and come to some agreement, each having some input, but at the end of the day, she should make the final decision because it's her career.
See, it's not his career. I'm just using her as my parallel, but to me, this guy, her husband, I just feel like you don't know someone's agenda because just let's just pretend Monique is 100% right. Tyler Perry and Oprah did give her a hard way to go. Let's just pretend that, okay? And Lee Daniels, okay? But they were giving her a hard way because they didn't like her husband's input on everything, how she was putting her husband's input on everything.
Is that what that was about?
I feel like that's human.
That was about her not being willing to promote the movie, but was that directed by her husband?
I'm sure that was one of the things, but also, I mean, I believe that she was also upset about her pay scale. And she felt like nobody up in the ranks had supported her like they should. And I respect that. Mm-hmm. And I respect that. But it's
the Netflix thing, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. But I feel like girlfriend. I feel like if you came to me with that issue or I came to you, I can't see you wanting to make more trouble for me that even if I am right. But I feel like it's just the way you do things. Mm-hmm. You know, like, listen, they big dogs. come on, Kim, they're big dogs. You know, yeah, we can go at them with the media. We can say whatever was on our heart and mind. And maybe 10 years from now, everybody be like, oh my God, Tora was right. But right now, let's not hit it like that. Let's not come like, let's not kill the whole cow. Let's just
sometimes get- you have to go along to get in position.
What they say, go along to get along.
And then you start making those boss moves, but you never get to the boss status if you're doing all that.
And my thing is, she was there. She was there, and I feel like she
was right on the precipice. Yeah, she was. All right, well, that's our 15 minutes on that. Something tells me we'll be coming back to that topic again sometime soon. The next topic kind of flows into that, which is girlfriends, the kind of women that we like to have as friends.
Yes.
And the kind of women that we avoid or have to move out of our circle.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I have taken into account recently, I don't like to be around women who talk my business to other women. So if I'm in a group, and I have some friend groups, but we can all talk together about our business. But if I'm talking to A about a certain circumstance, don't go tell C, because I know C's phone number. And if I want to tell C that, I would tell C that. And I've seen that going on. And I have actually stepped out of one particular friend group because I feel like a really good girlfriend just always running her mouth about me, not just to my other friends, to her family. Like, your family's my family. We go way back. I don't want everybody in your life knowing all my business. So at some point I have to stop telling you my business. And if I can't talk to you, we can't really be good friends. I can't really, you know, every time I'm just listening to what you, okay then, all right, bye-bye, because I don't want to say anything to you because I know that everybody we know is going to know what I've said. And that's a problem for me.
Is these younger people or people our age?
These are people our age that I think are susceptible to that. And I'm just thinking, why are we there at this age and at this stage?
I can't even imagine that because so for me, most people that I know, I've probably known them for over 15 years. And the people that I have in my life, I've known since I was in either elementary school to present day. And I literally have a bubble that I probably put myself in the bubble, and plus my circle has put me in the bubble. But I've only had two new friends since, and that one is my girlfriend, who she's younger than us, but we met because we worked together as dental assistants, and you. And both of you are not alike, each other alike, but both of you are alike as soon as I met you, I knew you were genuinely, you were golden. You knew exactly what type of person I am. You won't judge me, you know, and it makes me cry almost, because this is all I ever, you know, wanted from any of my friends. All my friends who know me, my best friends, I have a male and female best friends, and they know me, you know. We were just talking about this when we were in Vegas, me and my best friend I can't even remember how young we were when we met, but we were literally talking about how she's not friends with one of her girlfriends right now because a good girlfriend, because she said when they talk, she throws it in her face. Like, I haven't talked to you in almost, and I was just like, oh my God, we started hugging each other. Cause I was like, do you know what that means to me when I don't have to deal with that? Like, I have a best friend that I do not deal with like that, because they're stuck on something like that in their life. And it's like, No, we're up there in age. We don't need that for each other.
The high school, the elementary.
Yes, we don't need that for each other. But it was like, she was, you know, telling me about her situation. I was like, I literally had just had this conversation with my male best friend. I was like, because he had just endured that with a guy. And I was like, guys don't do that. He was like, yes.
It's crazy the things men do.
And I couldn't believe it.
Really get to talking to them, and you're like, really?
Really?
You know, like,
literally was like, I could not believe it. He said, yeah, oh, so you and your girl must not be doing too good. You're giving me a call. And he was like,
whoa.
What? But that's the way the girlfriend who I am not
generation right there
connected with right now is how she is. You know, why are you calling me? What? I don't care if I haven't talked to you in 2 years. we pick up where we left off. Like, why are you?
That's friendship. And if it bothered you that much, bro, pick up the phone and call me. You don't sit around feeling a way that I didn't call you when you can just call me.
That's all I'm saying. People have lives, they have agendas, they have things going on. It doesn't always be about you. Right. So that's why I said girlfriends, it's so hard. I've never met new girlfriends. I've met new people. But like I said, when I met you, I literally, I'd be telling my husband this. I'd be like, she's everything I wanted. Like, why couldn't she have grown up with her as my sister?
So
like,
nice. That is such so,
you know, like, we would be so successful together. She's so positive and nothing's negative in her life. And that is how it's supposed to be. You know, even if you have a million negative things, like that transfer energy, it's not even when, you know, even if you confided in me about mm-hmm. negative things, it's not supposed to be so toxic that I am breeding toxic.
Girl, I know somebody like that. And it's like, once you're talking to them, after a while, you find yourself going like, it's so, I had to realize that I was doing that. And I realized they're draining my energy and that's not a friend. And to be clear, everybody has issues. So if you're going through something, if that's what you're going through, I'm going to be there beside you. But it can't be every conversation.
It can't be.
It's just every conversation. See, and so my thing is, I actually have purged some friendships and I can count, I have a number of new girlfriends, some closer than others. And I'm just going to, I'm going to go with that. And I'm open to new ones because.
Let's take a short sponsor break. Now back to the current episode.
Everything that I've been, you know, some people I've been friends with for decades, and it's just not working for me. And I still love them and they can call me. I would do anything that I can that is beneficial to them, but I can't be in that space of talking to you all the time because it's not serving me. And it has to be mutually beneficial. I have to be able to trust you. I have to know that you're going to do what you say.
Yep.
I mean, you know, that's what I need.
Stressful at our age. It cannot be stressful at our age. We can have stressful moments, but we got to know, okay, that was that moment. That was just that moment. We know when we talk again, it's that moment is not going to still be the same. Right. When people carry stuff over, it's like, oh my God. And that's how this person was that we're no longer in contact with, because it was like, like Victoria said one time on her TikTok, why you act like that? I love that. I keep telling her dad, she could have gave me that one. But you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. She said it about me. I call my mom, why you act like that? But it's like, I really feel like if we're going to have girlfriends in life, we got to be able to trust them. Like you said, we got to be able to know that they got our back. And we got to know that they want to go in the same directions we want to go. And not saying on the same path, but direction.
You have to be forward moving. Let's say that.
Forward moving.
Now, forward. We might be moving on different tracks, but we're forward moving.
And you got to be my, I feel like it's nothing wrong with me cheering you on for success.
Right.
And I've noticed that it's so, oh my God, I've noticed it's so many, I guess like I said, I've been in a bubble. So I didn't know it was that many people that actually prey on your downfall. And once I see it, it hurts me so
bad. It is hurtful.
Man.
That is hurtful. And you hang up the phone and you're just like, oh my God. Because most of the women I've known some of them since elementary, middle school. I have friends from high school. I have friends from my early 20s, like in Atlanta or wherever I was. And some of them, we don't talk for years. We pick up, hey girl, and we talk for 2 hours, you know, girl, yes. And then we might talk a lot. And then it falls off and nobody's tripping. Something comes up and they really need to talk, they'll call me or vice versa.
Yep.
But you know, other friendships, I just have had to reexamine and say, I don't think they're serving me in my life. And I don't think that they're helping me continue moving forward. Is sort of making me tread water. It's not beneficial and
not comfortable.
I'm not doing it. I'm just
I am one of those people, I'm very emotional, but it is so easy for me to turn that switch off. It's so because I'd rather not feel what you making me feel than stay, or you know, and I hate saying like it could be anybody, you know, if I feel like my family is acting a certain way.
Too. My relatives too. I'm like, no. So,
nope. I got to turn it off. And they know. And I'm quite sure they know. They're like, okay, I must have done something because she's not like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm a ride or die. Like, hey, I'm on my way. You know, whatever, whatever. It's never going to be a problem when it comes to me. So clearly you must have done something to me if I turned that switch off and said, I'm not doing that. Like, I have no reason for you to pollute my air. Because if you told me tomorrow you want to build a bridge, I'd be like, Kim, oh my God, where? You know what I'm saying? Where?
I know you can do it. That's a great idea. Yeah.
I would never be like, a bridge? Like, why are you, like, what? Well, how did you come up with that? I'm not going to do any of that. That is not for me. If you want to tell me how you came up with the idea, then we can be like, oh my God. But you know, but I am not, and you could, people could be like, oh, that's so phony. You're not being a real friend. No, that's not my job as a friend.
Being supportive. Yeah. I mean, if I say something dead A stupid, I do need you to say, now, Kim, are you sure? Because, you know, but if you see any potential in it and you're supporting it, then that's cool. That's what we need.
I have learned that when I'm quite sure the multi-billionaires of the world told so-and-so they wanted to come up with an idea. There was somebody, they all say the same thing. Somebody told them that was stupid. I have learned I will never do that. Not my kids I've had people come in my house and say to me, if you were my mother, I could have done this X, Y, and Z. Because my kids cannot tell me anything. They tell me anything, we're gonna make it happen. What do you say? What do you wanna do? How do you wanna do it? Because my thing is this, it can come from anywhere. You know?
It may be something unusual that is that thing that clicks. So that's a great perspective.
And if you see potential, like my daughter, Victoria, she loves to cook. So I was at the store the other day. I saw all these seasonings on sale. I was like, oh, shoot, there's buy two, get two free. I'm like, oh. So when I got in the car, I was like, Victoria, I bought you so many seasonings. She's like, thank you. I don't know where that might lead her. She might not never even use them, but I know she likes to cook.
But so, we know there are a lot of famous people who got famous and rich for cooking. So why couldn't she? If she chose to. Yeah.
Literally what Jeff Bezos just gave $100 million to this famous chef the other day when he came back from space. So
oh really? I don't know what he's doing.
He also gave it to Van Jones.
That phallic rocket that he's got. I do not know what. I have not paid him, but paid him any attention.
But listen, his brother was on there, and he literally said his brother was his best friend. His brother was so laid back, so unfazed by the fact that his brother is the richest man in the world, and I was looking at his brother and I was feeling his brother's energy. Like he's only there for the ride and the joy of it. He is not a hater. And I was just thinking like, wow.
You know, he's probably wanting for nothing. If that's his brother and his best friend, I mean, I'm sure he's wanting for nothing. I just want to say, you know, he's not the richest man in the world though, right? He's the one they put forth as the richest man. Cause he surely doesn't have more money than the Rothschilds and the freaking greedy queen over there in Britain and all that. But all those families like to stay in the background, so we never know. But he's the richest person they want to acknowledge.
Right, exactly.
They want to acknowledge.
And because he has that title and they give it to him, that's only what, you know, of course, I'm quite sure there's somebody that owns some oil that's also jumping in the hundreds of billions also.
Yeah. That's just the one they want to identify. And it's got to be a white person. But anyway. Right.
But what
that's all on another side.
Exactly, but what we're saying is like how when you are genuinely have somebody on your team, how far you can get. Because no man can do it alone. I don't care what anybody tells me. I'm a witness. I know for a fact that not one man can do it alone, but he has a team and he has to have a support system because what it takes, it does take stupidity. You got to be able to not hear and think of whatever people say.
And to not care that you're making a fool of yourself. Because how are you ever going to learn anything new or get ahead if you're so conscious about protecting your image? You're just going to be stuck in a box. But I brought up something about the support system. I kind of feel like 50 Cent. Like, you know, I did it all by myself and now I got this money, I'm gonna hire some help. So, you know, but I fortunately do have women and men in my life who are supportive, but when I get more paper, I'm gonna hire more people too.
And he's a prime example because I know the story of his father and his mother, but I also know the story of his grandparents who stepped right in and had his back, which gave him that support to
and
be
confidence
and confidence because they lived in a house. They weren't from the projects. His grandparents might have lived near the projects, but they had a home.
His story was pretty tragic. I know we are all off topic, but yeah. With his
but
mother.
It's all about friendship. You know, we're talking about how friendship needs a support system, support. You know?
Yeah, and with his mother being like a big drug dealer story was very complicated.
Yeah, I think that's the people that make it because they have nothing else to lose. So if you have nothing else to lose and you have a great support system, all you're going to do is keep rising. You know what I mean? The cream rises to the top.
And the thing that you were saying about you have a best male friend and a best female friend, what I think we could talk about next time is the whole ability to maintain friendships with males. Mm-hmm. I really would want to talk about that because that's always been an issue with me. I have had male friends, but how it plays out or how it started versus how you get there, that would be an interesting thing to talk about.
Yeah, I can actually have him come on and we could talk about that because that is something I would love to be able to, because mine is different from other people's. Like some people,
That was our time. Let's have him on. Let's do male friends. If he doesn't come on, you and I can talk about it. If he's willing to come on, I'd love to have him and our third topic is renewed COVID restrictions. Oh my God.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the new COVID restrictions?
Oh no, I'm not ready. I wasn't ready. I don't comply. You know, I was going out at night to the after hour spots and having stuff on my deck and eating outside. I'm not really into that. I'm not scared of the variants. I'm not, my body likes fresh air. I've never in my life worn a mask outside. I just don't do restriction. I've traveled. Now I had to wear a mask on the airplanes and stuff or else they wouldn't. If you tell me I can't do it without wearing a mask, I'll wear a mask.
Right.
But you gotta tell me, you gotta be like, ma'am, ma'am, you have to wear a mask.
Right.
And then I wasn't ever ready for them. And Lord knows, but see, they know they cannot put those restrictions on you in the summertime because we all know that the heat kills all of that. They did it last time too. Well, then when the winter
is doing it right now, Australia is saying they're like, it's basically back in pandemic form where you can, you know, you have to social distance. If you're going to exercise, you can't do it too far away from your house. Like, all of these restrictions are coming up in other countries. So people are starting to say, well, they're doing it over there. It's coming here soon. I don't know about that. I feel like I've talked to enough millionaires this year that they feel like it's not going to happen again.
Really?
They've told me that they're not going to go back to that again.
Okay.
I don't know what they've heard or what they feel or what they know, but they just told me that they don't feel like it's going to be as extreme as we used to have it here in the United States.
But you know, Australia has always been really extreme.
Yeah.
And people were protesting and everything a lot over there because they had them totally locked down.
Yeah.
They did the same thing in the UK. Mm-hmm. Then my friend in the UK told me they were lifting all restrictions. But then my best friend from high school sent me something saying they're lifting all restrictions in the UK, but by September, unless you are fully vaccinated, you can't do anything. So
I did see that
restriction in and of itself.
I saw something like that too. And then I also saw that there's, I forget what nationality it was, but there's a gym that doesn't even want people to come if they've been vaccinated. Like there's a kickboxing gym that he's like, if you've been fully vaccinated, you need to stay away because, you know, they feel like the people who have been vaccinated can infect people who—
They're super spreaders. I think I mentioned that to you. There's a John Hopkins study that shows that people have been vaccinated spread the virus through their skin, through their breathing. They call them super spreaders. And they say that it's going to come to a point where vaccinated people are spreading the virus, but blaming it on unvaccinated people. And that's coming in our future. And I will say to you that I have a number of conscious friends who won't come up. I think I told you this. They won't come around anybody that's vaccinated.
Really?
And so for a while, I had that concern too. But see, I'm a person who's about freedom. And so the same way, I'm not going to allow fear of a disease to lock me down. I'm not going to let fear of a vaccine lock me down either. Initially, I would just go around them. I would wear long sleeves, long pants. And then finally, I was like, you know what? I'm going to be okay. Right. I made a decision not to take it. I'm not going to take it, but I'm going to be around people who took it only because so many people I know have taken it.
Let me tell
family, everything.
My stepmother had a party and it was about 100 people in our house and everybody had to be vaccinated. And I, you know, checked back in and no one has reported of catching COVID being, you know, or, you know, anyone they know, but I felt like that was the safest spot.
I would never,
because everybody was in there was vaccinated.
I would never go. You would never let me go. See, it's a double-edged thing. Like some people are vaccinated, they don't want to be around me, and I'm grateful because I'm pressed to be around them. Unless somebody I care about, I will make an exception. But other than that, I want vaccinated people to stay away from me too. So
I don't care either way. I don't care if you're vaccinated or not. Like in my mind, it's not my decision for you to make. You know, if you don't believe you're going to get it, because even before I was, I got vaccinated, I didn't believe I was going to get it. I just felt in my heart that manifest wasn't going to come to me. I didn't know what I might catch in the future, but I just didn't feel like I was going to ever get, and I didn't. I kept going getting tested. I must've had 30,000.
Daughters had it. You never got it.
Never got it. And in my mind, I always said, I didn't feel like I was going to get it. I felt like, and I just got back from Buffalo, and we went to a funeral and it was very sad because it was so quick. It was like one day she had it, the next day.
Funeral.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was so sad. And I can't speculate, but I feel like with Black people, we are so fearful of this disease. I feel like maybe it's not even a disease that's taken or virus that's not taken.
Yeah, virus. That's the word I couldn't even think of before, the virus. Yeah, your mental state has to do with everything you experience. And I like your stance on you don't care if people are vaccinated, because that's always been my position. If you believe in the vaccine and you get it, then you're good. Regardless of what I am, you're good because you already took your prevention. Right. Steps. So
and that's just a precaution for me. Like, I don't fear it. I don't fear if somebody tell me, oh, I had COVID last week. I don't fear going around. None of that bothers me. None of it, you know? So
if you tell me you had COVID last week, I'm going to not want to be around you till you know you don't have it anymore.
And see, and I respect that because I don't think just because I have the shot, I'm thinking that. It doesn't bother me before I even got the, because I always kept thinking, like I'm just like you. I traveled during the height of the pandemic. I did not stop living at all. And who did I know who had it? You know, I knew I had to wear it on the plane, my mask on the plane. I knew that when I went to the grocery store, I had to have but I kept thinking I would look around a packed Sunday grocery store. You know, some grocery stores are always packed after church. And I would go to restaurants where they tell us we could take off our masks if we're eating. And I used to look around and I kept thinking to myself, if I sit here and think, well, they might, even though they had a spaced out, you know, they had the chairs
and everything. Spaced out. Mm-hmm.
Like, just stop it. You know what I mean? Like, it was enough that it drove me crazy. I was like, I can't sit there. So that person might have it. That person, my waitress just could have it. The person bringing me my food in their hands could have it. How do I know she didn't reach through the mask and rub her nose or whatever? Like, just, I couldn't do it. So I never developed a fear of this disease or virus. I never did. So it was too many ifs. It was too many people coming in contact with you during the height of the pandemic for me to stress myself out.
It was all crazy. Like somehow the virus doesn't get you when you're eating.
Exactly.
It gets you when you're not. I mean, it doesn't get you if you're 2 years or younger.
Did that make sense to you?
With a not built up immune system.
Did that make
sense
to you?
It never really made sense to me. And I also have that mindset of I'm going to live free or die. If I have to sit in here and be scared and don't go anywhere and order all my food. And I mean, I've known people wiping off their food out on the porch.
I had someone try to spray my damn groceries with Lysol when I brought them in. If you do that, I'm leaving and I will never. I said, that is the most ignorant. How is killing me?
That's unsafe.
Thank you. That's
ingesting those chemicals that say don't ingest.
That's all. Like, I, even before there was a COVID, I always sprayed Lysol after I had a massive party or get together. I've always cleaned up.
I like to clean up after the party more so than, I mean, you have to have it presentable before, but I feel like when you really want to clean up is when they leave.
And that's me. That's me. Right. I do all the knobs. I wipe all the knobs down or any place I think somebody might've touched or whatever. I just deep clean everything. And then I spray the Lysol just for the smell. And it says it kills 99% of virus and bacteria. So that's when I would do it. But when the COVID happened, I was not one to just be spraying people who came. People want to spray me when I walked in their house. I was like, no.
Don't wipe all their home down with bleach. I never did that. I mean, that's not my thing. I never did it. I pretty much did what I always did. I would always my whole life, when I come in the house, I will wash my hands because I've been outside. So I just continue to do the same reasonable things that I've always done. So you don't think that the restrictions are coming back here? You don't think that we would have to put up with that?
I think they can't. I think United States is a free thinking country. And I don't think we can be told to do that twice. Mm. I mean, unless there was something, and I'm not laughing, I snickered because I was thinking, unless there's something really tragic. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm talking about, you seen the fish that's been dead in the water? They call it the red tide or whatever. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm. I need to look it up.
Okay, well, unless we start seeing actual United States citizens look like the fish that are in the, nothing's going to make us go back to that.
I think people are tired here. We're
free thinkers.
One thing the media isn't showing, though, is that all across the globe, people are protesting. People don't want to deal with this anymore. Mm-mm. People are protesting. Mm-hmm. But the media makes it seem like everybody just buckles down whenever the restrictions are imposed and they don't do anything.
No, CNN has been reporting lately that CNN has been reporting. I just wrote it down, so I was trying to find out where it was. They have been reporting that LA County is up 500%, and they've been reporting that people are not getting the vaccine. Like, it's almost like nobody's getting it
in LA County or
in LA County in LA. Yeah, it's like nobody. It's like they're like, screw that, we don't want it.
Let's take a short sponsor break. Now back to the current episode.
And so
LA is very health conscious, so I'm sure they're keeping their immune systems, they're exercising, they're eating organic, and they don't want those heavy metals and toxins injected into. I mean, I get it. I think I would fit in very well in LA because I'd be out there doing yoga and all that too. I can see them not wanting it.
Yeah, and I couldn't believe it because I wanted the exact numbers that they quoted, but I don't know, I can't find that. But anyway, they quoted the exact number of percentage that, like, they went like to the T that people are just not getting it. Like, once you take, I guess, the vaccine out, it, you know, you can't use it anymore. So they're having to get rid of it.
Like, the doses are expiring there?
Yeah, because like, say if I come in, right, to get mine and nobody else shows up, that stays out until you come back, until they come in. So they try to schedule everyone coming from, like, say, so me, you.
What do you mean it comes in batches?
So, like, no, you, the one vial would be for me and you. And our appointments with mine would be at 9, yours would be at 9:30, and then so-and-so and so-and-so's would be at 9:30, 10, 10:30, 11. And that one vial would be used.
Vial is for two people.
For like two or three people, yeah. Because once they take it out, they can't put it back in, it's no longer usable. So once they took it out for me, you didn't show up, he didn't show up, she didn't show up, so now it's expired. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So they're having to deal with that right now. And it's just like, I don't know what they're hearing. And they're trying to blame those 12 people, but I keep saying everybody's talking about it. Stop blaming 12 people. The one with RZA Islam and and other people. You know, they had like a poster up of the 12.
Yeah, Dr.
Was the only black person.
All the smart people.
Yeah.
Senator Kennedy, all the people. I mean, because it's important to have different viewpoints.
Fox News, you know, Fox News was on there also.
No.
Yeah, somebody from, I think it was Tucker Carlson, I think. It was somebody on there from Fox News who wasn't promoting the vaccine. But what I was saying was, they're blaming these people because they're public figures. But I hear everybody
blame that on those 12 people.
It's Joe Schmo is even saying this. Right. I am pro vaccine. I like to put that on the record. I don't right. care. You know, I know, but I'm pro vaccine. But I still feel like if you don't want to be pro, you shouldn't be forced to be it. You shouldn't. Why should you have to take the vaccine if you don't want it? And why should you have to not be able to express yourself if you want to? You know, if you are against it, I think you should tell somebody, and you can tell whoever you want that you're against it. I don't think you should be censored. Now, if you're lying about it, yeah, if you're saying that you know 18 people who died from it, from the COVID shot, then you're wrong. That's wrong to lie about something like that. But if you literally just don't want it and you feel as though it's dangerous, then talk about that. Say that.
Right.
What's wrong with that?
Right. Oh, I didn't know they were blaming. I'm looking at these 12 people. It's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He was never a senator though, right? He's always been outside fighting. It was Ted that was the senator.
Yeah, Ted was the senator.
It was Dr. Buttard, RZA Islam, Christine Northrup, Ty and Charlene Bollinger. Kelly Brogan. Is she from Fox? Kelly Brogan?
Sounds like that might be her.
Joseph Mercola, who's a doctor. I'm familiar with some of these people. Sherry Tenpenny, Aaron Elizabeth. I don't know, Sayer Jai.
Oh, he's a U.S. House representative.
Who is? Robert F. Kennedy?
Joe Kennedy? Joe Kennedy is a U.S. House representative. I think you're talking about his cousin, though, aren't you?
I'm talking about Robert. Yeah, Robert Kennedy. I don't know that he was ever inside the establishment. Yeah,
I don't think he made it.
Yeah, I think that he's too anti-establishment. He's always been anti-vaccine. He's anti-everything they are. He is against it.
So I agree.
I don't think that he will fit very well in Congress. But okay, so that was our time for that. And I hope you're right. I'll just end with that. I hope you're right, because we're just getting our freedoms back. Nobody wants to go back to every restaurant, bar, club. Everything just shut down all the time. It was it was really a big bore.
It's funny because if you Google Robert F. Kennedy Jr., it says American environmental lawyer, author, and anti-vaccine advocate.
Yeah, he's always been against everything.
Wow.
Because
the
environmental piece puts him against a lot of people in Congress too. So I just, when I thought about it, I'm like, nah, I don't think he's ever been a senator.
Wow.
I know. Okay, so then our final topic is social media. And that's, I think that that's something we're going to repeatedly discuss, because there's so many topics that fall under that. So we're going to talk about some of the things of social media that have gone on since our last episode that we wanted to bring out. And you have one thing you wanted to start with?
No, you go on and start. Mine is the least important about social media.
One of them that I found really interesting goes back to those 12 people you mentioned, because the White House press secretary or someone came on and talked about them. And to me, she seemed to be on the low telling Facebook to start censoring them. And she pointed out how many of them had already had their platforms eliminated on other social media, had their accounts eliminated on other social media platforms. And she said some of which are even owned by Facebook. And it really seemed like she was saying, we need you to censor these people because
I don't like
they're misleading. She called it disinformation. I mean, you know, I just question why we need censorship and why they think the public is so. If your position really is valid, then it should be able to withstand scrutiny, and somebody should be able to have an opposing position without it threatening your position. So the fact that they want to shut down all conversation that is not in line with their position means the position can't be that strong in the first place.
And that is how I think people are going to start looking at it. If you start censoring and start boycotting everybody, like, I understand we have cancel culture. Boy, do I know about that. But what I'm saying is, if everybody's able to just click you off and block you and keep the other people from seeing you because you don't like it, mm-hmm. is when you start saying, well, why don't they? It makes you more curious. Well, why don't you like Tora? Why don't you like him? Why don't you like what they're talking about? Well, maybe something they're saying is right. Because if there's nothing they're saying is right and it's not true, why do you care?
You should be able to debunk it. You should be able to just debunk it and keep it moving and demonstrate why what they're saying makes no sense whatsoever and why what you're saying makes more sense and, you know, reasonable people.
And I thought the truth always comes out anyway. Like if you say, well, think of all the negative people who, because everyone keeps going back to, you know, how Hitler was able to say, you know, give that narrative that, you know, this was how things are supposed to be and this is who's superior, da, da, da. I get what you're saying when you, but at the end of the day, the truth came out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's even being said that he was actually a Jew, so, or Jewish, I shouldn't call it a Jew, I should say Jewish. So if all of those things, the truth comes out, so let it play out. That's how you're supposed to, so we can look like we're crazy, so we can look dumb if we're saying something that's not true. Don't try to hide it, because it makes it even more like, it becomes, guess what? You took it away and now our words were the last words they heard and now everybody believes it. And I'm just using us as an example because I don't want to throw nobody else under the bus because there are other people who are being canceled, clicked off of. And it's like, that's so messed up because if I hear this about something and then I find out you took this person away, either you're scared of what they were saying is true because you never stop people from saying stuff that isn't true.
You've been doing it for several years now, just censoring, dropping people off the platforms, people with 500,000 followers gone, their accounts gone and wiped out. They've been doing that for a couple years.
My thing is this, if someone was preaching hate, right? And I'm talking about real evil hate. You have a whole bunch of people following that real evil hate. And you say, you know what? You're generating so much hate. It's time to cancel you. It's time to put you, at least have people be able to fight that. You know, you're fighting, you're taking everybody off.
Like I took Donald Trump off.
You know what I'm saying?
They took the freaking ex-president
of the United States off. You didn't even give me, not that I would, but I'm just using me as an example again. You're not even giving me a chance to be like, you're stupid, you're dumb, you don't know what you're talking about, you weak, you racist.
Yeah, let them expose them in the comments.
You can't.
That works quite well, but if they take them off, yeah.
If you had read some of Donald Trump's Twitter comments.
I never did.
I've read so many, and that's why I said we need both sides to fight with us, because I saw more white people saying how crazy he was, how stupid he was, how they wish someone would, you know, do something to him, and I'm just reading it, I'm not saying anything negative about him, I'm saying something positive about the people who were saying is that it gives you hope that not everybody's dumb, and everybody's racist.
And the government underestimates our ability to distinguish between truth and fiction. And I also think that they overstep their bounds because we're entitled to make decisions and we're supposed to face the consequences of them. What we don't need is somebody stepping in, removing all choice from our life and herding us down one little narrow lane. That's not consistent with anything that should be happening.
And that's my point. If you have our president of the United States, if he's able to clap back at people, clapping at him,
but it was crazy though.
He was
crazy on that Twitter. I was like, why doesn't somebody in his camp take that phone?
And I loved it.
He was crazy.
I loved every moment of it. And maybe that made me part insane with him.
No, I'm sure it was very entertaining. I can't imagine it wasn't
very entertaining for me. And I didn't feel like he was dangerous enough that he was hurting anybody. Because, I mean, when he took out his attorney general, and I was just like, that's my man. Like, thank you. Like, he thought he was going to be able to bring him in, use him for something. When he found out that, oh, you're not going to do what I want you to do. Oh, you got to go. I was like,
yeah, he was something.
Right.
Now, you were mentioning that you've noticed that they were overly reporting people.
On all the social media platforms, on especially TikTok. I mean, they said they made an announcement. They're going to start going after those people who are overly, because there's people who literally will sit there and just do click, I don't like you, I'm gonna report you and make up a lie and say something. And they've done it on me so many times and I've appealed it. And when they look back at my videos, they're like, what? And no one, she didn't say anything bullying. She didn't say anything racist. She didn't say any of this. So they put my videos back up. But I used to look at the people like, don't you feel bad? Like, you went through all that trouble hating on me and look at you.
I mean,
like,
you're not inciting violence. You're not, I mean, you're not saying anything other than something that really mostly you talk about your personal family life.
That's so, it. That's
the, it. The thing is with social media too, like I comment now a lot. I didn't used to, but I comment a lot. And you know, my views can sometimes be extreme and I will defend them. You can come for me. I'm coming right back for you.
But
the thing is, it's also okay to just scroll on by. It's also okay to be like, I don't like her content and keep it moving. You don't have to try to get it removed.
And you can block me. You can personally never have to see my, you can say not interested. You click on my video and you say not interested and I will not pop on your For You page. That's all you have to do. Like, why are you so hateful and spiteful? And I literally say this over and over. There is a gentleman who's on there who goes to his TikTok and says, how is she allowed to have all this content and these followers? Why is she? And I'm just like, who creates someone who actually thinks like that? You're spending way too much time and invested on me. Maybe if you did it for yourself, you could do
your own account and all those followers.
It's so crazy because it's our own people too. So it's not like I'm talking about some Caucasian man. No, I'm talking about a Black young man who does this to a Black woman.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Okay, what about this lady who's, this is really extreme though. This lady whose video you showed me, who said, she said that the US government should be overthrown and that a large percentage of our people, meaning Black people, have to be eliminated too because they are beyond repair.
And I agree with both statements, but I agree with both statements when it comes to the government needs to be overthrown in a way of meaning like we need a new face of government, not meaning like we should do the insurrection. I don't agree with any of that. I feel like it should be overthrown where Black people need to rise up and say, okay, we either need more of us in here to make decisions and or we need to be right beside the ones who are making the decisions so we can get a fair shot at this. That's the uprising I think of when I think of it. Because like I always say, I feel like we need each other to make this thing work.
Okay, you say that. Mm-hmm.
And I could be wrong. And I have, like I said, I leave room to be wrong and make errors, but I feel like from where I've stood.
I'm sure a lot of people agree. I don't know that I agree. I don't really have an opinion on that, but I'm sure a lot of people agree with you on that.
And as far as, okay, well, how can you be that way with, you know, rebuilding together, but so adamant about some of our Black people are beyond repair is because I'm talking about the good white folks and the good Caucasian folks who are willing to want to work and make a better world for all of us.
Then in that vein, some of the white people are beyond repair too.
That's what I'm saying.
A group that should stay and a whole group across the board that should be gone too.
But because I feel like we are more damaged goods,
think about all those snaggletooth, redneck boys. Chomping
but on. We already know they exist. We already know they exist. We already know they're.
We already know about all the thugs and the gangbangers and the.
I'm not even talking about the thugs and the gangbangers. They can be reformed to me. I'm talking about the coons. I'm talking about the sellout coons that are literally trying to put us to our death and think that means they're going to be worthy of chosen to stay. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, I feel like. When I hear somebody, and we talked about the Cameron thing, how we all saw the interview where he says, you know, no, if there was a mass murderer living next to me, a serial murderer
or killer,
whatever, would you snitch? And his validation to the streets of no snitching is so he would just move. It's like, it makes you just want to say, okay, I'm gonna give you one more chance to think about what you said, because at the end of the day, that doesn't even sound rational.
Because you know what? You could be the next victim of the serial
killer. Your family could be.
Get your life. And then the people were saying, well, the person that highlighted Cameron's position said, that's the uncle, Leroy, who knows. No, we said that's the person who knows Uncle Leroy is molesting all the young children in the family and doesn't say anything.
Yeah, so I think you're not as strong as you say you are. You're not as loyal as you say you are. Because if you were, if you know someone is damaged goods and garbage and you don't say anything or take it upon yourself to do anything, then that to me makes you even weaker than the weakest person.
And that's taking the no snitch rule to absurd extremes. And really, I'm not sure that no snitch benefits us anyway.
First of all, it wasn't even supposed to be like that. It was supposed to be you and I, we went and we robbed this bank together. You got away. My dumb butt went and bought a Porsche and bought a mansion and I got caught. You know, and they still don't know who you are. They don't have no fingerprints. They don't have no ID. They don't know who you are. And then they tell me, well, listen, you can either say she the mastermind who was with you or he was with you. Give him up. We give you 10, but they'll take the... And then I tell. That's called no snitch, right?
That is no snitching.
That's not, dude, I got caught. I gotta let my girl and my guy live his best life. I ain't telling nothing. That's what no snitching
was. But it's not the guys on the corner selling crack, destroying the neighborhood, carjacking,
murdering an innocent 6-year-old,
robbing. Yeah, it's not
murdering an innocent 6-year-old. Boo! You going down? You are going. You're going down, and whoever which you probably gonna go down because. You can't, that's not a no snitching thing.
And until they eliminate that attitude in the black, in the hood communities, then it's never gonna be okay in those communities. It's never gonna be safe.
Repulsive thing I've ever heard.
It was absurd to me. It was, and Cameron is a grown man. He was in the hip hop game very early, so he is no spring chicken. By now, even if he thought that in his 20s or late teens, by now he should have evolved.
And should have definitely, when I'm like, look, when he said that to me, I was more so thinking in my mind, no, I wouldn't snitch because I would go out and do something to this dude myself. Okay, we'll buy that one. Please say something, because right now we're like, really, dude, you really know how can we do business with
you? It's so ignorant, doesn't it? It seems so ignorant. Like, I know a grown, he's got to at least be in his 40s. I know a grown, big old grown man is not thinking that that's the code he needs to abide by.
Right, like, that's not cool. That's not cold. That's not dope. That's not none of the above that you should be thinking or saying to the masses. Like, please, and I know people think like, oh, I've said a lot of dumb things in my life, but when you're our spotlight and that's on you, you need to fix that. You know what I'm saying?
And that kind of goes back to like the Kim Kardashian, Cardi B stuff. When you do have a large number of followings or a large spotlight on you, you just have to think carefully about what you say and do publicly. You might be able to do whatever you want behind your closed doors, but you know you're influencing other people.
Absolutely.
And I think there's some accountability that needs to come with that.
Right, right.
That was our alarm. So, I mean, you know, I guess that's it for this week. Any parting words you want to say before we close?
No, I thought we did amazing. I thought it was definitely a lot of topics we hit on, and I felt like this way we're doing things, I think we get a lot out.
I think so too. And I think it keeps it moving and keeps it fresh. Mm-hmm. So, as always, we appreciate you joining us for this episode.
And thank you for kicking it with Kim and Tora. And we will see you next time. Do not forget to like, subscribe, and pass it on to someone else.
That's right. Have a good night.